Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain.
And after he sat down, the disciples came there.
He began to speak and taught them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they will inherit
the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy.
Blessed are the pure, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. First things first, thank you, beloved St. Barnabas children. I know how beautiful that was. We lost one of our most beautiful saints on Thursday. Amanda Hedelman was undeniably a saint. Quiet, faithful, practical, patient, persevering, compassionate, and profoundly loving, Amanda taught me more about generosity of spirit than most people I've known. Amanda lived out her faith by loving anyone who came her way. She took in homeless young people, raised her grandson in a home filled with love, and honestly believed that her life and everyone and everything in it was a gift. I am a better human and a better priest for having known her. Who comes to mind for you when you hear the word saint? Do you think of Saint Francis in the garden preaching to the birds and reminding us that Brother Sun and Sister Moon are as much a part of our family as are our own children? Or perhaps you think of Saint Thomas, the one who loved Jesus with such ferocity and also the one who voiced everyone's doubts. Maybe you think of Barnabas, the encourager, or Mother Teresa, or Oscar Romero, or maybe even Saint Nicholas. What makes a saint, anyway? Well, the technical answer is the Roman Catholic Church, of course. A life of pure righteousness, followed by three miracles after death, is what makes for an official church saint. So that's not a group most of us will ever be a part of. Those official kinds of saints do get their names on the calendar, and people do preach little homilies about them most years. But long before the church started making saints, holy women and holy men were recognized and appreciated in ways that weren't so formal. These were people known by their stories, by the way they lived their lives, people who were held in the hearts and memories of those who saw something very special about them, something we might call holiness or givenness or singleness of heart, people like Amanda. I have known and known of a lot of saints who don't come anywhere close to meeting those church saint qualifications. And still, they are saints whose impact on me has been nothing less than miraculous. These seemingly ordinary people took God's dangerous call to love so seriously that their lives actually became saintly. I think we make a mistake when we consider a life of perfect righteousness as the mark of a saint. Because when we do that, what we're saying is that saint-making is up to us. What we are saying is that if we are good, really, really, really good, we might be named a saint. But I don't think that sort of extraordinary behavior is what we need to be paying attention to, because I don't actually think that is the mark of a saint. If you've spent any time with the saints, you know very well that many of them were not all that well behaved. What made them saintly was not their perfect behavior. What made them saintly was their sure understanding of who and whose they were. Not perfect people, but authentic people. People who knew themselves to be God's very own. It was their unwavering commitment to God that made them saints. Saints are the ones who are more real than perfect. Saints are the ones who make a difference in our lives, who make a difference in all the lives they touch. Saints are the ones whose light shines so brightly that Jesus comes into focus whenever they are around. Saints are the ones who are so tender and vulnerable that God's love becomes palpable when we're in their company. The saints we encounter in the context of our daily lives aren't necessarily people whose names we'll find on a calendar or whose icons we'll gaze at in prayer. We're much more likely to encounter saints on the street, in the grocery store, at the hospital, or around the kitchen table. We know them when we see them because they are the face of Christ, the face of love for us. Grounding all of our trusting, all of our living, all of our loving in the God whose name is love is the best good work there is. And I think that is what makes a saint. The stories of the saints aren't perfect, and neither are ours. Even the most famous saints lost their tempers, sulked in their cells, yelled at their sisters and brothers, and yelled at God too. But they never lost track of who or whose they were, and they never lost sight of God. Their unmistakable identity as God's beloved daughters and sons is what called them into sainthood. It's what calls us into sainthood too. Beloved and blessed. That's precisely what Jesus was talking about when he spoke to that raggedy bunch on the mountaintop. Surrounded by demoniacs and lepers, epileptics and paralytics, sick people and sinners of every sort, the very first words he spoke to them were the words of love and blessedness. Jesus didn't offer up any particular behavior standards, didn't admonish anyone about how to live a perfectly righteous and saintly life. Instead, he told them, just as he tells us, that it is simply by virtue of being God's very own that we are beloved and blessed. That's it, really. We belong to a God. We belong to our God, and that really is enough to be our everything. It doesn't matter what our worldly circumstances are. It doesn't matter what shape our bodies are in. And while it matters deeply that we open our hearts and do all that we can to love as God loves, still, it doesn't matter that we always get it right. When Jesus speaks, all are beloved and blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the peacemaker. These Beatitudes were never meant to be a list of rules and regulations, not the attitudes we're supposed to adhere to at all times. There's not a saint in heaven or on earth who could do that. No, these beatitudes are God's recognition and blessing of God's own beloved. They are a vision of the kingdom that Jesus said was already here and still in the making. They are the blessing God desires for our lives and for every life. You see, when we recognize how beloved and blessed we are, there will be nothing for us to do but to proclaim God's truth that all are beloved and blessed, every single one, every one. And when we can take that in and live that out, we are loving God's kingdom into being. Blessed are you, Jesus says. Blessed are you. As it turns out, the saints of God are people just like you and me. We don't need to wait for anything to change in order to know ourselves as beloved and blessed. God has already come among us, and the kingdom is already here. Whenever we know we're impoverished without God, whenever we hunger and thirst and act for justice, whenever we are merciful or peaceable or pure in heart, whenever God's love rules in our hearts, we are the saints come to love God's kingdom into being. It's been hard work loving God's kingdom into being in these pandemic times. But the change in our circumstances has brought forth amazing creativity and connecting. And now our connections are often richer than they ever were when we took being together for granted. It's been hard work loving God's kingdom into being when we're constantly bombarded with racism, vile rhetoric, and the encouragement to hate anyone who doesn't spew that same rhetoric. But for some of us, and for our church, all that divisiveness has awakened in us a deep desire to recognize our part in systemic racism and to begin the good work of racial reconciliation. It's been hard work loving God's kingdom into being during this appalling election season. But for some of us, watching politicians manipulate and lie and do all in their power to keep people from voting has called forth in us a political activism we would never have imagined. We are indeed loving God's kingdom into being in circumstances we could not have imagined only a year ago, and doing that in ways we couldn't have imagined only a year ago. Our worlds have been turned upside down, and still we rise to do the work of loving God's kingdom into being. Because when we recognize ourselves as God's own beloved, when we experience the riches of God's grace, when we really take in God's boundless love, we will walk around in the world with the sole purpose of loving. It is who we are, not what we do, that makes us saints. Our identity as children of God is what makes us holy and sends us out to be a blessing in the world. And knowing ourselves to be God's own beloved, we go. Not because we're particularly meek or poor in spirit or merciful or pure in heart. We go because Jesus has come among us and loved us and called us blessed. Amen.